Welcome. My name is Fred Blair. I'm the chair of the local finance committee at KPFK. This is the September 15th meeting of the KPFK local finance committee. I'm now going to take roll, bringing up my spreadsheet. Okay. And some people are tech. I've got multiple things going on here. So hold on. Okay. I'm taking roll. Alan Beek.
Alan Beek is present. Do you hear me?
I hear you fine, loud and clear. Too loud, actually. Beth Van Gooten.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Novick.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes. Let's see if he's on the Maestro control panel. I don't see Lawrence. Okay. Lucio Rivas. Lucio? She sometimes...
There's a lot of help.
Hold on, I'm checking Maestro.
The heavy breathing. Can someone stop the heavy breathing, please? Thank you.
Bella, please do not shout out without... Jeanine Rowan?
Present.
Bella DeSoto.
Bella. Present.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev. Okay. Grace Aaron. Grace.
Here, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just heard. I just heard you.
Okay.
Ken Aaron.
I don't think Ken is able to be on at the moment. Possibly later. Sorry.
Okay.
Tied up.
Raymond Goldstone.
I'm present.
The reason I've got about three new members that this is their third meeting. So I'm adding him into the role for now. Dave Johnson.
Dave is here.
Steve Kaiser. Steve. I'm checking Maestro to see if he's present. I don't see him. Okay, so he's absent. King Riley.
Present.
And King, I believe this is your third meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay, Maria Skelton.
Present, and thank you.
You're welcome. Ruth Strauss. Ruth? Okay. Oops. John Wenger? John? Okay. Wendell Handy. Michael Heiss. Michael. Zuri Redux.
Yes, President Zuri Redux. Thank you.
This will be, Zuri, this is your second meeting.
Next
month, you'll be eligible for membership, but we have some, we have some policy issues that the, LSB needs to go over on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. So.
Fred, this is Steve Kaiser. I just joined the meeting.
Thank you, Steve. I'm marking you present now.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have 12 present, 5 absent. So we have 13 present. Quorum is 10, so we have quorum. So we have a legal meeting. Okay, next I need to bring
Mr.
up
Mr. Chair, this is Bella, point of information.
Can you hold off, Bella? I need to bring open up my own agenda.
Okay.
Okay, Bella, what's your point of information?
Well, yes.
Hello, Lawrence.
Who's speaking? Please, only one person at a time speak. Bella, what's your point of information?
By the way, that was Lawrence. You mentioned to Zuri Redux that the LSB needed to go over some policy issues.
Bella,
my understanding is that
Bella, the reason I'm answering
you. Can you please let me finish? I have the floor. You acknowledge me. Thank you. My understanding is that the policy is 3 attendants.
Bella, I don't want to go into any, I want to avoid going into any details on that. That's why I'm not dealing with it at this time. We'll deal with it at some other time. It's more important today that we get, Mikhail's report and, get to him. So,
Thank you for interrupting me.
You're welcome.
Janine to the stack or?
Hold on, Janine. Lawrence, I'm recording you.
Lawrence to the stack.
Hold on, Lawrence.
Okay,
I'm recording you as present. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Okay, Janine, what's your question?
Well, I wanted to ensure that the public could participate in the meeting because it's such an important time. So I was going to offer the Zoom number.
I got
it in an email to send everyone.
Janine,
so I'd like to see if we can have a vote.
No.
I vote. I second that. We need to have a vote of the committee.
We
you
do
cannot
not
make that decision for the committee.
Hold on, Bella. Do not speak over the chair.
Okay.
The Maestro system does not have the capacity to handle more people or the public today. We've already got 1, 2, 3. We've
not
got,
true. Not true. A member of the public, myself, has called in. And it is unacceptable.
Sorry, public, you don't have the right to speak. The Maestro system does not have the capacity to handle more people today. We've already got 4 guests on the line. People can listen online to the online stream. That's the whole purpose of having a stream, for public to be able to hear the meeting. Janine, if you want to force this issue and change over to Zoom, you risk making this meeting untenable. And right now, it's very important that we hear from the general manager, and that's why I'm asking you to hold off on your motion. Do you understand?
Well, I think I understand, Fred, and believe me, I want to get started with the meeting quickly, too. But I think that during this time, it's really important that we have an open meeting for the public to speak. So I think we could take a vote very quickly and be able to get the results very quickly.
We can take a vote quickly, but is there any other discussion on this?
Beth to the stack.
Beth, you have the floor.
This is Grace. Grace to the stack.
Thank you. It is an important time. We have major issues on the plate here that we have to deal with. If people wanted to exercise this option, they had the ability to contact Fred ahead of time and set it up that way. To wait until we're 20 minutes into the meeting and then try to do it, it's going to take us another 20 minutes at least to get everybody back on. And to bring that kind of disorder into a meeting like this now, I think, is out of order. I think we should consider that for next meeting, when we can set it up ahead of time. But to introduce that level of disorder into this meeting at this point, I think, is out of order. And I think we should proceed as we are today and consider that for next time. If the committee's outgrown this capacity, the capacity of Maestro Call, then we need to make new arrangements, but not in the middle of a meeting. We've got too much business on the plate today. Thank you.
Grace, you're next.
Yes.
And Lawrence, to the stack, please.
I understand.
Thank you. I got you, Lawrence.
First of all, the meeting is being streamed, so listeners can listen to the meeting, and they can certainly email the Finance Committee or the LSB as a whole if they have comments or suggestions. Opening it up, let's say there are 100 people who want to say something, will only disrupt the decisions that this committee needs to make. The people on the committee have been on the committee for a while. They're familiar with the issues. Opening it up to the public adds a lot, could add a lot of confusion. We need to get work done. Also, it's against Robert's Rules of Order for people who are not on a committee to engage in speaking in a committee or making motions or vote. So to do this is a violation of Robert's Rules of Order, which limits participation in committees to the approved committee members. And it would be a serious breach of decorum and violate Robert's rules. The bylaws say that anything that's not in the bylaws itself is covered in Robert's rules. So it'd be simply a violation of order to allow people from the public to speak. Unless this board, this committee wants to a policy of public comment into the meeting, but that would be something that should be taken up, and it should not be people speaking on agenda items and contributing to the business at hand, which is urgent and which we need to do. That's all.
Thank you, Grace. Lawrence?
Thank you, Fred. I have a question before I make a comment. And Grace is correct that something that is not codified in our bylaws, then we fall back first on the Articles of Incorporation, and then Robert's Rules of Order will be our default position. So what I fell off the call. What is the act right now that's on the floor, Fred? And then maybe I'll comment or I won't.
The point of the agenda, we're on point three of the agenda, set time and date in place of next meeting. Or actually, we're at point two, which is approving the agenda.
No, Hold on, Janine.
Janine, you don't have the floor. Lawrence has the floor.
Thank you. So what is the motion? That's what I want to be informed about, and maybe I'll get back on the stack, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Janine, you want to state your motion?
In short, it's just to move this to another phone number and do another roll call so that the public can join us in the meeting if we touch on subjects which odds are we will that are of it, that they want to weigh in on okay. or they oh. want to give their opinion on.
Okay.
Janine,
I'm calling a vote on this to dispose of this and move on since you're dead set on this. Hold on a second.
Fred, I have a point of order.
Okay, what's your point of order, Grace?
Okay, we can't vote on something that's against the Robert's Rules of Order. This is clearly a violation. Janine's motion is attempting to violate Robert's Rules of Order. Committee structure is set, people are allowed to, so we can't. It's out of. It's simply out of order. Fred, you should just rule that this is.
Thank you, Grace.
I have a request for information. Chair.
Lawrence, what's your request for information?
I'd like to for my colleague and former director Grace Aaron to provide a citation in Robert's Law that will rule this motion out of order and not doable.
Okay, that's your request. I'm ruling that Janine's motion is out of order. We're going to move on to the next point to point two on the agenda, which is approving the agenda.
Chair, I have a point of order.
Lawrence. What's your point of order, Lawrence?
My point of order is that Grace solidified and fortified her motion, her point of order, based on
Lawrence,
a citation that has not been cited in Robert's
Lawrence,
Rules of Order.
Hold on,
please. Let me finish, Fred. I'm not saying that your ruling is inappropriate. What I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be today, but for the next meeting, maybe through email, that Grace provide that citation to the committee.
Okay, Grace, are you willing to do that?
Yes. However, I would like to say that there's clear policy adopted by the KPFK local station board about committee membership. It's not just Robert's Rules of Order. It's also the policy about committee membership, which states that LSB members must have a majority on a committee. And non-LSB members must be in the minority. That's the first thing. The second thing is the committee, people who are not legitimate committee members may not speak and may not vote. That's in KPFK committee policy. I can find that, and I can find a Robert's Rules of Order citation and get it to the committee for the next meeting. But this is purely, it's completely out of order to just open up meetings to everyone.
Thank you, Grace. Grace, so you will get Lawrence the citation he requested. Is that true? Is
yes,
that correct?
I will. Yes, I will.
Lawrence, does that satisfy you?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Appreciate that.
Okay. Again, I'm ruling Janine's motion out of order, and I want to express the fact that I'm extremely upset that I organized this meeting around McGill. This is his first day as general manager of the station. I want this meeting to showcase him and for us to have an interaction with him for the first time. And I don't want to get, we've already wasted 20 minutes on this procedural shit. So I'm moving on. So we're at point two, which is approving of the agenda. Michael wanted to add an item on the agenda to report back on the strategic planning consultation meeting with staff that took place. We had a couple of those, one last week and one on Monday. Michael, where do you want that? I would like to put that after point nine on the agenda, after the discussion of Pacifica's P&L financials. Is that acceptable to you? Michael? Hello? Is Michael still on? I see you on the Maestro control panel.
Yes, I'm there. Sorry, I lost my screen for a second. As I said when I requested be added, I need to leave this call at 6 p.m. because I have another Zoom call. So if you could do it after the business manager's report, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, so you want after point 7. How much time do you anticipate taking with that report back?
I think it would be 3 or 4 minutes. There are a few of us on the call who are in those meetings. And
okay, that's acceptable to me. Is there any objection by the committee members to adding that point onto the agenda? Hearing none, it's been added. Is there any other things that people, anything that people want to add to this agenda? That we got a full agenda today.
I would like to have a vote towards the end on whether we should do Zooms from now on. Thank you.
I'm ruling that out of order. We'll deal with it at the governance meeting tonight. Again, is there any objection to accepting this agenda? Hearing none, we have an agenda. So I'm moving to point 3, setting time and place of the next meeting. The next meeting is scheduled for October 13th, Wednesday, October 13th at 4 p.m. Is there any problem with that that people want to raise? Hearing none, our next meeting is October 13th at 4 p.m. Okay, point 4 on the agenda is approval minutes. I sent out the minutes about an hour before the meeting, hour or two before the meeting today. Minutes can always be corrected if people find errors with it. So can I have somebody move that we accept the minutes of the August 11th meeting?
Beth moves that we approve the minutes from the August meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Michael of the Stack.
There's no Stack, Michael. Do you object to accepting the minutes?
I'd like to strike the reference to chaos.
I'm sorry? Oh, you like...
There's a reference to chaos. Please strike it.
I will strike it as requested. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Is there any objection to accepting the minutes with that correction?
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. I dropped off because you muted me. Can you repeat what the strikeout area is, please?
He's referring to the motion about the discussion on accepting the minutes last month. There was a comment I made about somebody providing chaos to the meeting. I'm going to strike it. Is that accept?
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any objection to accepting the minutes? Hearing none, those minutes are accepted. Okay, the next item on the agenda is I'm going to introduce is the report by our new general manager, Mikhail Kolkata. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mikhail, do you want to tell us a little about yourself and then give your report? This is what most people have come for. Thank you for being gracious enough to show up. You are an ex-official member of this committee and of the LSB. You have the floor.
Thank you for having me, Fred, and all the rest of the members of this committee and the public. Today has been my first official day as GM of KPFK, And tomorrow I'll do a brief meet and greet with all the staff at the parking lot of the station. But let me say first that I am honored to help KPFK in these difficult times, and I'll try to perform my duty as best as I can and beyond. Barry will describe later the current financial situation. I am also aware there's a strategic planning committee that is about to deliver some positive initiatives to overcome the current situation. But let me say that listenership rate increasing, obviously, revenues and working on programming, this should be objectives. No? Let me tell you first that these three items, listenership rate, increasing revenues, working on programming, are like the gears of an engine. You cannot have any of them working alone. To have thoughtful programming, you have to have revenues. But to have revenues, you have to have a good listenership rate. And we go on and on and on. Therefore, one has to work in parallel. One has to work on all three gears to make the machine perform better. And what does performing better mean? Well, besides increasing revenues, I would say that to have these three indicators working happily together, and here comes the crucial part, align with the mission statement of Pacifica Foundation. That would be working, performing better. If you can do so, you'll be in what scholars have called the virtuous circle, and up you go. But now we're not there, obviously. Regarding programming and taking into account KPFK's mission, I just would rhetorically ask myself, do we have to rethink programming? And if so, how? I would just say today that KPFK is a very much diverse station in terms of programming. Nonetheless, if we want to increase the listenership rate, it is obvious that we will have to perform some tweaks on the programming. And just as an example, are we able to resume to implement a newsroom department again? Well, that's another objective. All efforts now have to prone to increase audience. There is no other way. And why increasing audience? Well, because the correlation between individual giving and audience size has long been established. There are, let me say this, two undeniable truths in public radio broadcasting. The first is that programming causes audiences. That means people don't listen to the radio because they appreciate the concept of a smart, commercial-free programming. They listen for the same reason people listen to classical music, rock, or Mexican corridos, or thoughtful interviews, for that matter, because they like what happens to beyond. That's why people listen to it. And the second truth is that public radio, or for that matter, community radio, cannot serve every interest. It doesn't exist for its producers' benefit, but for the benefit of its audience, the community. So community radio isn't just anyone in the studio. Something has to happen on the other side of the mic. And if people aren't listening, there's no community service. Listeners expect every moment to resonate with their core values. Any message that betrays these values, and you know it well, undermines their confidence and trust in the service. So I only have 10 minutes. Excuse me if I'm not more detailed today, being the first day, but I will put all my efforts in trying to make an even more attractive programming to regain audience, bottom line, to increase revenues. The second objective, now that we've been audited, is to regain the CPB. This has to be like a mantra, the CPB grant. I think that that is also a basic duty. There's money there for Pacifica Radio, and we have to go there. I'll meet with the rest of Pacifica stations, GMs, and figure out the best way to achieve this objective. And finally, the third one, let me put it bluntly, is food for thought for you, the directors, and is for the LSB and for the PNB. If KPFK is still able to maintain this level of, well, obviously, something is resonating with the listenership. But regarding the economic revenues, we have talked about the contribution from listeners and expand our base of donors. The second source, the grants, and the third source is, and I know this field might raise some sensitivities, is the underwriting aspect. This is the prerogative of the LSB and PNB, and this should be your prerogative to establish a set of guidelines to increase or to start the underwriting activity. I don't think we are betraying any core value if we honor some, because we have some people that are owners of business, because corporation business are made by people, and they are listeners to KPFK. So I don't know. I don't think that we betray our core values if we allow specifically some underwriting under a policy that is agreed upon. That would be my first discourse to you. To finish, I just would like to underline the fact that we can discuss things from all corners, points of views, etc. But everything I have already described will only be possible if we keep the board members, the staff, committed and on the same page. So nothing will happen until sleeves are rolled and meetings, callings, and emails start to reach out to as many people as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Miguel. Can you stay long enough to take just a few questions from the LSB members?
For sure.
Very good.
Steve Kaiser.
I'm taking Good a day. Stack. I'm taking a stack now. Who do I hear? Steve Kaiser.
Yeah, this is Dave. And Dave
Lawrence.
Okay, I've got Steve, Dave, Lawrence.
Bella.
Couldn't do this well, Bella. Anybody else?
And Michael.
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 I got you, Michael.
Fred, this is James. I'm
welcome,
not asking for the stack. I just wanted you to know that I'm here using the guest code that you gave me.
Okay. Well, actually, it's not a guest code. I think you have your own PIN code. Thank you for letting us know, James. Thank you for being present.
I've been here since about 7:18 or 4:18 your time.
Got it. Okay, Steve, I heard your voice first.
Fred?
Yes.
Fred, this is John Wenger. I'm also on the call. I've been here about 13 minutes.
Okay.
John, do you want to go ahead and make, go ahead?
Okay, Steve.
No, I don't. I just wanted to be counted for the role since James.
Okay, John, you don't want, John, you're not asking to be on the stack is what you're saying.
Actually, I would at the end, if they don't ask, if someone, yes, please. At this point, I will say.
Okay. Okay, hold on. I've got six people so far. We'll add more. I'll ask after every couple of questions for more. Steve, you have the floor.
All right, thanks, Miguel. I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on fundraising, what sources of revenue we can enhance so that we can get some money and to fund our operation. Any thoughts?
Look, I'm about to meet with Terry. I had a meeting today with Barry also. I think that one of the first things to do is try to draft a letter or an email stating 2-3 brief points to our top contributors to let them know that that this is the new direction that we are taking, and ask them to and ask them for their support as always. This is one of
enhancing our cash flow, enhancing our marketing, enhancing what we sell, and can get people to contribute for. Any other besides sending a letter out to our listenership? I know it's part of the job. I just wonder if you had any thoughts on that. If not, that's fine.
Well, it's not that easy. But look, one of the main things in radio is to be consistent over the time. We haven't been consistent over the time, so we're losing listeners and we're losing contribution. And this is going to take some time, but I'm sure we can overcome because we have the means, we have the tools, we are. We cover a large area, and so maybe we were fortunate to perform in a level that maybe didn't correlate to what we were actually doing. We have to obviously perform better, but we have to be consistent on our programming.
And what do you mean by inconsistent? What are you looking at that's inconsistent?
To be consistent, I'm only talking not on I'm not talking about the content now. I'm just talking about the frame of the programming. That's it. We cannot change programs out of the blue without saying any notice, just because whatever the reason it is. This is not acceptable in radio. If we have more time, we can discuss the content aspect. But I'm only talking about the frame.
Maybe at the end of the meeting, we can talk more about marketing.
Sure.
Thank you.
Steve,
Okay. Thank you, Mikhail. Steve, excuse me, Dave, you're next.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mikhail, for joining us today. Mikhail, I'd like to ask you about the CPB funding. I don't know if, you know, it is your first day. We do have PMB members on this committee that could probably elaborate after the meeting. But KPFK is uniquely unqualified for CPB funds because we did not have enough listeners and we did not raise enough revenue, according to the CPB. And the other thing is that we continue to do third-party fundraising here at the station, which also disqualifies us for CPB grants. And I don't really know that that's the form of a question, but I want to point that out to you so that if you're starting to examine that, you could check into it. And also, from basically what you've said, I think you perhaps don't quite understand the opposition to financial underwriting here at KPFK and Pacifica. We don't allow any underwriting whatsoever, no matter even if it's from the local donut shop down the street. And then my last or maybe even my first question is, we have had general managers and other managers at the station here that really didn't have any kind of financial document, financial management experience or knowledge. And I was wondering if you could explain what your financial background is in that aspect of running the station. And that's all, Fred. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't get the name of my last person that's...
Mikhail, that was Dave Johnson. He's not an LSB member, but he's been at these finance meetings for at least 4, maybe 5 years.
Actually 12 years, Fred, since 2013.
Okay.
Okay, a long time. Steve, I am aware of what you were saying about the CPB grant. I'm aware that I still haven't seen the listenership audience rate. I hope to look at these numbers in the weeks to come, but obviously, knowing the result of our last fundraising, it seems quite certain that we don't somehow achieve the level of listenership that the CPB demands for a grant. Regarding the third party underwriting, I'm not quite sure that this is really another demand. And for me, the basic thing, one of the basic things that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting wants to know is that the financials of every station they fund are audited. And this is something that finally has been performed by, I think, our four or five stations. In regards of underwriting, I think that this is the PNB, this is something that PNB has to decide upon. I'm just saying that for me it's really, and I'm talking on a personal basis, for me it's quite difficult to understand how can we betray the spirit of our founding father and not betray the same spirit by selling premiums that and selling these premiums for, I don't know, 25 minutes on air. For me, this is quite something that I cannot understand. But anyway, I think that the Pacifica National Board and the local station board should decide on this. And I don't see any problem to establish the strictest set guidelines or policy to accept this kind of contribution. And regarding my financial skills, well, I raised two radio stations in Barcelona from the scratch to a turnover of around now $9 million in 15 years. And I sell it after 24 years to my business partner. That was in 2015. And my background is not in financial, but I think that we have also talented people in the station and in the foundation to move things on.
Can I have a follow-up, Chair?
Oh, sure.
Was that yes?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We currently do third-party fundraising on the air at the present time and have done so in the last couple of years. Our morning show, Sojourner Truth Show, Margaret Prescott, is probably the primary one that does this, and it's fundraising for another nonprofit. I would ask you to make inquiries and confirm, but we cannot do this and acquire CPB funding. It's not allowed. And then the second thing is that as far as underwriting is concerned, some of the other members here could speak to this more specifically than I can, but I believe it's in our bylaws and has been the practice at Pacifica for over 60 years to never take any underwriting. And so I'm bringing this up because if you're daydreaming about using this as a financial model, we need to get this clarified quickly and move on to a different strategy.
Make it short.
Anyway, that was it. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, General Manager. I appreciate your attending the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm not daydreaming about that. I'm just saying that maybe we could revise whatever it has to be revised. I can only add to this that in my station, when I was guiding a radio station, a commercial radio station, I think that we were so strict in the commercials that we were about to air, that all the rest of commercial radio station, I think that they were laughing at us because we refuse some not underwriting, but some corporations, because we have another core values. So I don't know. It is for the LSB and for the PNB to revise this if they will. For sure, I will advocate that they do so, if they want, I think that I can submit some material to think how to do this in a proper way. That's it.
The chair would like to intercede here and state that this is part of the dialogue, the normal dialogue that should take place between management and governance about these issues, and hopefully that this will be part of our future dialogues and to resolve these issues. Okay, is there anybody else that wants to be added to the stack at this point? My stack at this point is Lawrence, Bella, Michael, and John Wanger. Is anybody also would like to be added to the stack?
Yes, John Markowitz on the stack, please.
Public?
John Markowitz is public, right. I will take that into consideration. Anybody else from the, on the...
Oh, you cannot...
John, please be quiet. You
prevent certain listeners from being on the stack, Fred.
Yes, I can, and I can also mute you.
No, you cannot. You're out of order totally. This is unacceptable. Dare you? I will see you in court.
Thank you,
Chair. This is Lawrence. Do I have the stack?
Yes, you have the stack. Hold on. I'm asking if there's any more LSB members for the stack.
No, you're not. You're asking for listeners.
I'm not asking for listeners.
Okay.
I muted him. Jonathan, you cannot break up the meeting. Lawrence, you're next, Lawrence. And I'm not... ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So there should be a session of public comment where listeners could provide their public comment. So I'm encouraged, Miquel, and because I'm a director, listener director for KPFK, and I'm encouraged with one of a few things that you said, in regards to that there's something that has to happen on the other side of the mic, right? And so I'm encouraged that you are looking to re-engage the community, bring the community back and expand our base again and have those people that have left come back and also to add new members to our base, because that is the only way we're going to survive. Now, I'm also encouraged by what you said in regards that I believe that we need to, I think you need to take an open call in regards to fresh ideas and even programming ideas, and I hope that you would do that, because that is the way that you're going to make something happen on the other side of the mic. Because right now, a bunch of mic hogs, and there's nothing else happening on the other side of the mic, because it's quite evident with the kind of fund drive we had just recently that there's a disconnect with the community. So my question also, in regards to underwriting, this a director from WBI that's on We Want a Committee and some other directors. And Grace Aaron was a director at the time when we were we had about a year-long discussion about underwriting. And underwriting, you are going to get serious pushback when it comes to underwriting, because we have a mission and we're pretty proud of our mission and we're pretty proud of being fiercely independent in regards to the kind of things that we air, and underwriting is not in line with our mission. So I'm open, because I really believe that all hands on deck, right, that everything has to be put on the table. So another question that I have for you, McKen, is what do you think about a multimedia platform? Do you have any experience in also developing multimedia platform, connecting the few to the many, which is, I think, it's is the ethos of Michael Novak, who often says that. And I believe that's one way that we may be able to survive this inertia that we are in right now in regards to solidifying and expanding our base, expanding our financial base. So those are the three questions. If you were able to get three questions out of that, but I am definitely encouraged that you are looking to reengage the community and make something else happen other than what's coming from one side of the mic. Thank you, Mikhail. So if you can answer any of those, I appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. I think that I don't think if we realize that one of our major strengths comes from having a license. I mean, I know that we live in a world of constant technological change, and that people can maybe no longer listen to the radio like they used to do. But nonetheless, I mean, we still have this asset on our side. And the asset is that we have a powerful transmitter, and we can reach all these people. Okay, this is one thing. But the other thing is that I'm just saying, if we really underline what are our values, but nobody is listening to us, we are not serving the community. So what I'm just saying is that I think that one thing doesn't preclude the other. I mean, I think that we can serve the community and obviously be loyal to our core values, but on a different way. But the first thing is to reach the people. My fear is that I don't know if now we are doing so, and we are maybe entangled on details instead of looking at the big picture. I don't know if this is the committee to explain all that, and for me it's quite difficult to do this on my first day and online without looking at the people. I would very much love to have this meeting in person instead of over the phone.
Thank you. Okay, Miguel. Bella, you're next.
Who's next?
Bella is next.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Miguel. Thank you. Welcome. I wrote you
Thank
twice
you.
On September 4th. I did not get a response, and then again on September 11th. A well-drafted letter welcoming you and providing you with a lot of intel regarding the station, where we are, blah, blah, blah. But most importantly, announcing the next town hall event for KPFK. Under the bylaws, we need to have two per year, at least. And there was no response from you, and I'll be more than happy to resend it to you. I wanted to bring that up because the station for 2 years now, going almost on 2 years, has been shut out from our communities. Our programming has not reflected our communities going back to 2008. Our programming has been extremely, extremely tailored to very few listeners and selling products. And I was the one who began speaking about the station becoming a home shopping network. So all of this needs to be shifted to local bread and butter issues. And as Lauren said, we need to bring back the community into the station. And I agree with you. It was very difficult on your first day and by phone. I want you to also take a look at the last profit and loss through July, in which you will understand the deficits that we have been carrying, which is all tied at the hip of the programming. So absolutely everything is contingent upon our programming. I am very concerned about underwriting, and I'm also concerned about something you said that you want to address the top donors. I'm very concerned about that approach because this is how it has been done for several years, where some top donors seem to mandate and rule the day, whereas the many have been shunned and disenfranchised. So Michael did not write the many to the few to the many. It's the ethos of our mission statement that we are to be as self-efficient and efficient as possible and open our doors to the community. And that programming grid must represent our community. Once we move there, I assure you that we will quickly shift away from the funk, financial funk we're in, and our numbers will begin to increase regarding our listenership and our potential membership. And I will close by saying that, that once we do that, and we also make sure that each programming has a call-in section so that the listeners can engage with the program, the station, and everything that's going on at the station over the airwaves. If every program designates a certain allotted time for the listeners to call in, and we do away with all third-party fundraising and we do it all in-house, immediately you will begin to see the shift, because then we're calling back our community. And again, we have to be mindful and uphold our mission. It's a classic. It does not need rebranding. It is there. We simply have to work with it. And I thank you very much for being here. And I would love to talk to you about the next town hall event.
Bill,
thank you.
Was there any questions in there, Bella?
I wanted to find out when I can speak to him either later today or tomorrow so that we can speak about the next town hall event and how we can promote it on air again to bring the community back in. Thank you.
Okay, Bella.
Who's speaking? Is that Lawrence?
Mikhail is speaking. Go ahead.
Mikhail, you can respond as you wish.
I just wanted to say thank you, Bella. Basically, I think we are on the same page, although approaching from different places. I regret I haven't sent you or reply your mail, but I didn't want to reply anyone until my first day. I would love to know or to have as many insights as possible, and I'll be glad to have a more in-depth discussion regarding the subjects that Bella has already talked about.
Thank you, Mikhail.
Michael,
to the staff.
I'm sorry, Janine? Was that Janine?
Yeah, it's Janine.
Okay, I got you. Michael Novick, is there anybody else who wants to be added to the stack?
Sure.
Who?
Sue, public.
But who I've got
Sue Cohen Johnson. It's Sue Cohen Johnson.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Okay, Michael Novick, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'll go back to what you said at the opening. Mikhail, you talked about a virtuous cycle as opposed to, unfortunately, the station has been on a kind of a vicious downward spiral for some time, losing its audience and losing its support. So I think that that's a very positive approach to take. As I understand it, he was saying, trying to bring the programming and the audience engagement in line with the mission and the values and the core values of the station. So I think that is a very positive approach. I want to thank you again for being on the call. And I guess it's really more of a comment. I think that... the reason that the PNB adopted a motion suspending all underwriting until a policy could be adopted was that there was underwriting going on. It was disguised here at KPFK, but it was basically in return for listener sponsorships of media and cultural events. The station was getting support in kind or other kinds of support. KPFT in Texas was doing underwriting, so it's not the case that the bylaws prohibit it, but it is the case that there needs to be a very, very clear policy of what, if anything, is acceptable or not, so that the long discussion has to be had, can't be done today. The other thing I want to mention is that when thinking about the staff, it's very important to recognize that only a small portion of the staff that actually do the production and the programming are the paid staff at the station. There are many, many more members of the staff who are unpaid producers and programmers who produce a lot of content for us. And I think that whether we do multimedia or not, there are a lot of people out there. The quote from me that was mangled, what I said is that the ethos of social media is a many-to-many ethos of interactivity. And I think we have to bring some of that spirit into our broadcasting. But I think also it reflects the fact that there are many, many people producing content that is actually more attractive to listeners than some of what's on our own airwaves, paid or unpaid. And I think that it behooves us to engage with that and see, you know, how we can magnify our impact by connecting with, you know, cultural workers and analysts and activists out in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I have nothing to add of what you are saying. I totally agree when you say we have to be maybe more active in trying to recruit people from the community and to hear obviously more voices. But we have to do so in a fashion that is attractive to a broad listenership rate. No? But other than this, I totally agree.
Thanks.
John Wenger, you have the floor.
Yeah. Miguel, I welcome you to KPFK. It's a very complex and stimulating environment. you've touched on and covered quite a few of the things that I was wondering about, and I'll just say I appreciate the sense I'm picking up from you about your sense of open-mindedness and your intention to be very complete and thorough as you sort of survey the what I'm going to call the opportunity space, the space in which all the things that need to be considered. You have opportunities and you have problems, and it's an interesting place. And I'll just cut my remarks fairly short. I'm kind of excited that I heard you say that you're from Barcelona. Now, I'm presuming that's Barcelona, Spain, in Europe, and so my remarks are predicated on that assumption. If that's true, then I think anybody who spent any time in Barcelona or even read about Barcelona is very appreciative of the concept of fascism. I believe that Barcelona has been fighting fascism for a very long time, and I think they're still active there, and these are active concerns there. And I'll just say that there are people within the United States who think that the concept of vaccine mandates, the way they're being basically approach and I'll say shove down the throat of government and institutions and the public and everybody else involve the imposition of fascism within the United States. There are many constitutional issues. The issues bear upon the Nuremberg trials. We executed Nazis for violating certain things, and these Nuremberg guidelines are being violated. So here's an issue that I'm just going to say hotter than hell. This is very topical. This is the biggest thing since Donald Trump versus Hillary. And I think if you want to grab the people's attention, this single issue is dynamite, and you have a tremendous opportunity. I'll be happy to speak to you more about it. I'm just going to outline it right now and say this is a gigantic opportunity to get listeners, because this issue it was part of the reason why we just had yesterday an attempt to overthrow or recall our governor in California. That's a big deal. And we brought in Biden, or the Democrats brought in Biden, President Biden, Obama, all of the heavy hitters were brought in because this is such an exciting big deal. So I'm just going to say, consider this as part of your opportunity space to explore. And I'm done now, and I appreciate your what I've heard from you already. So thank you, and go ahead and proceed as soon as you're ready.
Thank you, John. First thing, thank you for – I'm from Barcelona, Catalonia. Unfortunately, now Barcelona is a part of is a capital of Spain, but I consider myself only Catalan, not Spanish.
Thank you. I appreciate the correction.
No, it's not a correction. It's like it's like that. We're still fighting. We're still on lots of fights. Regarding the last that you mentioned, maybe because I am the spouse of our medical doctor. There's no controversy here. There's only data, and the data shows that that vaccines are the main thing to fight against this pandemic. The rest of the thing I cannot understand. So that would be my answer. Thank you, John.
Maybe I'll compose something more and email it to you. We have more time to think about it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next person on the stack is Janine. Is there any more committee members who would like to be put on the stack? Also, we're probably running out of time. I think we've been running about 40 minutes in this segment for the GM report. So, Janine, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome, Miguel. We're excited to have you. I wanted to just bring up that there is a bit of an elephant in the room. KPFK, there's been a lot of political interest that, in my mind and many of the listeners' minds, has been choking the station intentionally, running it down so that it can be poised to be quote-unquote saved. And Bella's idea of engagement during programming is really it's an idea and something to get us back to our history of the radio station, its origins. And so we've been in a position where that hasn't been going on. There's been resistance in the management to implement things like this. And then on top of that, we've had COVID for 18 months. So there's been no tabling. There's been no phone banking, no events. So I just want to, we have a work that can be done as far as elevating the station in the internet and social media. And I recently testified at the PNB meeting that I feel like the network is losing its listenership partially because they're losing faith in us. So I wanted to say that, just remind everyone that KPFK is designed for courageous programming, as John was just mentioning. And so that we, and I just want to say that the, while the station might be reaching out for CPB funding, that we also should to be cautioned to not use grants as a crutch, and that the urgency can also be focused on implementing some of these other ideas to fundraise and get listenership up. Thank you.
Janine, I totally agree. Look, I've been reading, I could read about Pacifica Foundation for, a week and not reach the official page. And unfortunately, reading all the things that I read are not good, so to speak. And so with this environment, it is very difficult to ask for listener support. If any listener has, wants to discover more things about Pacifica Foundation and Google anything, you will find terrible adjectives and discussions. And I think that this, from my personal perspective, this doesn't help our cause. This is on the one side. On the other side, regarding the pledge drives, I've been listening to pledge drives of KPFK this year, the last one and the one before. And just to name an example, just to mention an example, it is not, we cannot ask our listeners for sustain just by saying that we are in desperate need. We have to ask for their sustain because of what we mean for them. And so if we aren't able to change this mindset, we are not going to go far. So it is the value that we provide to our listeners that make the listeners want to contribute. It's not that we can repeat a thousand times we need money to a listener. A listener would say, okay, that's fine. But if we just pull the string of imagine what would be a day without your favorite radio time or podcast or content, I think that is the right approach. So in this regard, Janine, I think that you are right in your assessment. No?
Thank you, Miguel. I noted that we've spent about 45 minutes with Miguel here. I don't know what Miguel's commitments are today, but I think the finance committee needs to move on to the business manager's financial report.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
I have a quickie.
What do you mean you have a quickie?
Mr. Chair, we need to listen to the public now that Miguel is here.
No, I'm sorry, Bella. We have committee business. Also, the problem with the public is that Sue Cohen is running as a candidate, which means she can't. It's illegal for her to that would get her kicked off of the election. The same actually goes for Grace Aaron.
That is not so.
No,
Bella. I'm ruling you out of order.
No.
I'm trying
you're
to
wrong.
Reason you.
You can't speak on the air as a candidate.
But we're not on the air.
We are a live stream. You understand that? This is
not
being recorded.
Not on the air. It's not for air.
Who's chair?
Chair, I have a point of order, Chair. Lawrence?
Yes, Lawrence. What's your point of order?
I would think that, that the public is entitled to provide public comment, but I also
understand... This committee does not have public comment, Lawrence.
Stop cutting people off. So what I'm about to say is this, that we have to be careful because we are walking a tightrope because we are using Pacific resources. That's all.
Actually, you're not. Okay. The chair is trying to move this committee along to the next point on the agenda, which we have planned. So.
Thank you.
I'm notifying you that this segment is, we have exceeded time.
I'll write you an email.
What is election? Who's speaking?
Sue, I'll write you an email. Sue, former membership director?
Yeah, I see.
Go ahead. I'll write you an email.
She'll write you an email.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm moving now that, thank you, Miguel, for your report and your answering questions. I'm going to now move to Barry Brooks's report. Barry, are you present?
I am. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Would you start giving your monthly financial report? That's the purpose of the Finance Committee. Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you. KPFK's current Bank of America operating administrator account balance is $3,454.70 as of today, September 15th. We expect an additional deposit of approximately $23,500 on September 23rd from the February 21, April 21, and August 21 fund drive residuals and online donations. This balance is as of the payment that we made for the employee payroll funding. Now we're going to drop down into the second paragraph, down where it says KPFK summer fund drive. The information above has already been mentioned about the previous fund drive. So KPFK summer fund drive that started on July 20th has raised a total of $235,725 with 1,592 pledges and an average collection amount of $5,612 per day. The fulfillment rate was 83.4%. KPFK has $18,260 in sustainers and a total number of 73 pledges. KPFK's outstanding account payable balance in Great Plains as of September 15th is $61,303. KPFK is now focusing on paying the most critical expenses to the station, employee health benefits, and employee payroll expense. KPFK has paid all but one of the law firms, Fisher Phillips, invoices. Balance owing to them is $12,400. In reference to the union negotiations, SAG-AFTRA talks are continuing for the reduction in employee vacation time and severance compensation. KPFK is in arrears paying essential services by $220,974 for fiscal year 2020 and $294,000 for fiscal year 2021. Yesterday, KPFK borrowed $13,000 from the Pacific affiliate and $6,000 from the KPFA to meet KPFK's September 15 payroll expense. In addition, KPFK still owes the Pacific Network affiliate $17,000 for payroll advance on November 30th, 2020. Three employees have resigned, two on-air hosts, and one producer as of August 31st, 2021. KPFK continues to struggle in its quest to raise funds during the world pandemic, COVID-19, staffing cuts, and the economic downturn. The next fund drive is scheduled to begin on October 5th. KPFK has paid its employee payroll expense for September 15th, but it will be a struggle to meet the September 30th, 2021 employee payroll expense. KPFK has paid its employee health benefits for July and August. The health benefits for September 30, 2021 will be paid at the end of the month, hopefully. KPFK's July 21 employee health benefit has decreased by 33.4% from the month of October 2020. KPFK's July 2021 profit and loss statement for total operating expense has decreased by 21% from October 2020. Now, the next paragraph is about the third-party fundraising. I'm not going to mention that because I've done that before in the last meeting. So we're going to jump to down at the bottom there. It says, due to the world pandemic and KPFK's cash flow problems, 8 permanent employees have been laid off to meet the staff reductions mandated by the PNB effective October 15, 2020 and February 1st, 2021. The Pacifica Foundation 2020 audit is complete and is now posted on the Pacifica Foundation website for public viewing. KPFK, NEDA, and the rest of the Pacific Network is in full commitment of fiscal year 21 audit that has a deadline of September 30th, 2022. The summer and fall fundraising of this year and the fund drives associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months of listener support revenue, podcast programs, cell phone app donations, and website online support revenue. We have streamlined some of our vendor lists to go with vendors that provide services at a reduced rate. To mention some of that, we got rid of our storage facility, which was costing us money, so we moved some of that storage document over here to our station, so we eliminated that. The Pacific Foundation and FJC has extended the maturity on the FJC loan of $3.2 million to 18 months to September 30th of 2022. As of this date, KPFK is still in dire straits and needs capital infusion immediately. All hands are on deck needed to turn around this unsatisfactory financial performance. And that's it for my report.
Thank you, Barry. I'm going to put myself at the top of the stack as chair, and then I'm taking a stack now. Who would like to ask questions of Barry?
Bella to the stack.
Okay, Bella. Anybody else?
Did you hear Michael?
Michael? I thought I heard another person. Anybody else? Okay, I'm moving forward.
This is Dave.
Dave?
This is Dave. Sorry, Fred. Yes, thank you.
Got you, Dave. Okay. I'm just going to ask you some basic short questions. You were able to pay the mid-month payroll by borrowing money from two of the other business units. What's the prospects for paying the end of the month payroll this month? How much money the end of the month payroll will be?
Okay, the end of the month payroll will probably be approximately between $45,000 and $48,000. I'm just going to be honest with you. We are going to struggle to meet that amount. We are going to get a bump in income on the 23rd, as I mentioned in the beginning of the report. But we do have other fish to fry, so to speak, with our electrical vendor, Southern California Edison. That's old money. So hopefully we can make it. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Okay, I just want to report for the other committee members and for the public that the payroll from last Tuesday was $39,000, and the end of the month payroll is going to be $48,000. You and Miguel are going to have to work that out. Thank you, Barry. I'm going to now move to Bella.
Thank you, Fred. Yes, and I wanted to remind you, Fred, as chair of this committee, that when I was pro temp of this committee, I was prevented by Grace Aaron to be the first on the stack. And now you place yourself on the stack. So I see the disparity. Okay, now I just opened up Barry's summary, which always comes in very, very late, right before our meeting. And it's very, very difficult to assimilate.
Can you get to
and
a question?
And go over all the numbers. And all the reports that we keep requesting every single month, we continue not to receive. And I wanted to ask Barry if there's anything that he may be, instead of images, which are unacceptable, as I have written back, if there's any protocols that he may be instituting to get us the necessary monthly reports before our meeting to start working on an adequate scheduling. And if we have to move our meeting further in the month, let's consider that as well. Barry?
Yes, I have taken notice on that, Bella, and the balance sheet, I know that you've been asking about the balance sheet, so hopefully within the next couple of weeks that we can come up with, you know, Netta and myself with the balance sheet, but that would only be for fiscal year 2020, at the end of fiscal year 2020,
no.
So I don't know if that would be helpful to you, but that.
Okay, so the reason for the balance sheet on a monthly basis, Barry, and I have explained that here I don't know how many times.
I know the reason why. I know the reason why. But we don't, we don't have a balance sheet.
Right. So let me state the reason why we need that on a monthly basis.
Bella,
so
this
that
is a broken
we can
record.
Then. Bella,
I understand that. You've been through this before.
Barry, let me respond. Bella, this is a broken record. You do this every month. You complain about all the documents
the
we don't get. And, so I've muted Bella. I'm sorry. Janine?
Well, I find it very upsetting, especially after the email that I sent with documents and motions from 18 months ago passed by the LSB, that we have been requesting this as the board for 18 months. And we can't get a balance sheet. And by the way, I went to Great Plains online and watched a demo, and there's no reason why we can't get these reports. So the idea that it's not possible is an excuse. And we are week to week. So I challenge Barry to let us know what he needs. Whether it's time, whether it's additional personnel, what is it that he needs to provide these documents? Because the other thing is, we are not seeing anything from NIDA for 7 weeks after the closing of a month. And that's unacceptable given our situation either. How are we supposed to, modify what we're doing? So I would like to ask Barry that. What does he need to give these reports? Now, not get back to us. What does he need now that he can tell us?
Barry, do you want to respond?
I would need more time. It's a time issue because I have other responsibilities and other tasks to do. It would take a little while to put that together. I mean, it's a pretty serious, we went through this before. It's pretty serious. Task to put a balance sheet together.
Janine,
I'm
going to respond to you. I sent out an email responding on this.
That's not true.
Actually, it is true.
When it's manually done. I'm sorry.
Janine.
Fred, you've said yourself you don't know financial.
I had to mute Janine since she will not respect the chair. It was reported by Steve Kaiser, who was a CPA, that it takes serious resources to put together a balance sheet. That's why NIDA only does a year-end balance sheet to balance the books for the next year's audit. So,
thank you,
Mr. Bella, I would like to be responding to this since you cut me off.
I'm sorry. I'm on the stack, and I was not called on.
Michael, I'm sorry. you have, Michael, you have the floor. I've muted both Janine and Bella for not following the orders, following the, respecting the chair. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, we have to figure out a way to have these conversations without people being muted constantly. You know, I'm not sure why this keeps happening. I think we just had a report from the new general manager. The manager needs this kind of information. It's not just for the committee. The manager has to have all these financial data available to him so that we can begin to set priorities and figure out how to get out of this hole that we're in. So I think that all that, as difficult as it may be, I'm not a CPA. As difficult as it may be, it has to be generated as quickly as possible, not just for the committee, but for the management. And it was very clear when Aniel was the manager that he was flying completely blind. And that's one of the reasons we're in such a deficit situation as we are. So if Barry needs additional time, or if Barry needs additional staff support, or if any PA needs somebody to light a fire under them, then it has to be done. I had two questions, however. One is, I want to thank Barry for generating a P&L, apparently on his own, because you said that NETA didn't have it available yet. So thank you, Barry, for doing that. I think we need to do that on a regular basis for the station every month, for the management and for the committee. I had a question about the figure you gave of $18,000 in sustainers. Is that a monthly figure? Are you saying that we get $18,000 in sustainer pledges every month? Barry?
Yes. Let's see. Where is it? 18,000. Yes, correct. 18,000 per month in sustainers.
Okay. So that's the first concrete figure I've seen in months. I've been trying to find out. Thank you again for that information. Again, in terms of financial planning and our sense of what our income and cash flow is, I think it's vital that we get some cash flow documents as soon as possible. And I'll stop there.
Thank you, Michael. Dave Johnson, you asked for the floor.
Can I add to that, Fred?
I'm sorry?
Can I add something, Barry? Fred?
Yeah, Barry, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And getting back to Michael's question, I know everybody wants to see a balance sheet, but the main document that actually shows the performance of an organization is the profit and loss statement. That is the most important document that anyone can analyze to see the performance of an organization. Now, the balance sheet is important too, but it's not as important as the P&L. I just wanted to add
that. Okay, I did have one more question. I'm sorry, I forgot it. I compared what you gave us back to the last document we got from NETA, and I realized that, because I was looking at the comparison year to date, and you showed on insurance payments for this year we paid about $6,000-something, and last year we paid only $600 for the whole year. I noticed that in the full P&L that we got from NETA, essentially, it was only a single insurance payment recorded all of last fiscal year. I think either that's a reporting error or something happened. I don't know what. But
we didn't have insurance on the building in fiscal year 2020. We just began in October of 2020 was our first payment.
Okay, I'm saying the previous fiscal year, not the last 2 years.
Are you saying 2019?
I'm looking at the 3 years, 2019, 2020, and 2021. In 2019, there was $5,000 in insurance payments. I don't know what they were for. In 2020, last year, there was only $700 in insurance payments. And this year, we're back up around $6,000, which began with a payment of $2,000 plus in the first month. Can you explain those disparities? What insurance were we paying for in 2019 that we stopped paying for in 2020, and what are we paying for now in 2021?
Yeah, we had. I think there was mentioned at one of the meetings back in 2020, September of 2020, where we didn't have liability insurance on the building. So we went out and got the insurance, and we had to pay a down payment of $2,000. in October 2020, and then we made a payment of about $587 per month. And then that, it's not for the 12 months. It ended in July. So it starts up again in October of 2021 for the next coverage of the fiscal year 2022. So,
Point of clarification, isn't that the earthquake insurance?
Correct, yes. Earthquake and fire.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Dave, Barry, are you finished? Okay.
Yeah, I'm finished, yes.
Okay, Dave, I think you're the next one on the stack. Who's that?
Thank you, Fred. This is Dave. Am I okay to go ahead, Fred?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thanks, Barry. I had a question for you on the June P&L. The January column on under miscellaneous now has $322,200 in it, which the PPP amount from fiscal 2020, I believe. In July, that January amount changed, and it grew to $393,653, an increase of about, what is that? I don't know, $60,000 or something. What was added to January between June and July?
Yeah, I don't know specifically what was added there. I have to ask Tamara about that. So yeah, I noticed that too. So I don't know why that changed. I can't really speculate on that. In that maybe that we got a bigger portion of the PPP funding out of that $1.2 million going toward our cause.
And
but I'll check into that.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to ask another question. The October bank statement shows that on 10/21/20 there was a wire transfer for $22,000 and one on 10/20/20 for $20,000. One for $22,000, one for $20,000. Did both have your notes as describing them as payroll repay? And it's not reflected on the P&L as far as I can tell, but it would explain the discrepancy for the month of October. We don't have the bank statements for that date to check. I was wondering if you could explain the discrepancy. And also, I was wondering, looking beyond October, if you could explain what you said in the past about half the $40,000 deficit each month. And that was it.
Okay. Let me go back to October. Okay, so we do make a wire fund to, we have to wire the money to Meta for our health benefit. So that's $22,000 in that neighborhood. That $22,000 payroll repay is what I probably didn't have the money to pay them, and I probably had to reimburse the money for that. I can't really recall, but I believe that's what it was to repay the payroll, that we were probably in the shortfall of the payroll. Or it could have been like another makeup payment of the health benefits that we weren't able to pay in September. That could be it too. Oh, and also remember, Dave, that that was the month that we laid off three people, too. So that could be vacation compensation.
I'm sorry, I accidentally disconnected myself, Barry. Did you say that the $22,000 was for a healthcare fund repay? Was that what you said?
I can't specifically say what it was for, but I remember that for October 2020, we had some layoffs when you had to pay vacation payout.
Oh, okay.
So that could be it too. It could be that.
All right. Yeah. Sorry about that. I accidentally disconnected my phone and I didn't hear your answers, but I can listen to them on the archive. Thank you, Barry.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there anybody else for the stack to ask questions of Barry? I hear a lot of rattling.
Steve to the stack, please.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Steve Kaiser, please.
Oh, Steve.
Lawrence to the stack.
Okay, yes. I've got Lawrence first and then Steve. Thank you, Steve. Okay, Lawrence, you have the floor.
Thank you. I appreciate your report, Barry. I want to make a statement of the quorum. It's very difficult to run a meeting when the facilitator, or in this case, the chair, is interrupting people and asking them to ask a question. I think in the development of somebody's verbal presentation, they may get to the question. I think that would facilitate any need to mute or to drop the member from the meeting. I just would like the chair to consider that because this is not a way to be constantly interrupted when the floor is granted. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. Steve Kaiser, you've got the floor to...
Thank you. Barry, have you ever broached the topic with Tamara Sadursky about producing quarterly balance sheets, like every 3 months? I think we might be able to do that with the number of transactions that KPFK has in that period to pull that together. And I know a couple of years ago, Tamara was optimistic about being able to get more monthly statements put together. And I just wonder if you ever brought up the topic of producing quarterly balance sheets, it might be something that the committee would be happy to have to have a better grounding in things.
Yeah, I did mention that to her. I've always mentioned to her the need of a balance sheet, but I mean, they have a lot of responsibilities of themselves, and she's so busy she can't really put it together. But since we have completed our audit for fiscal year 2020, I would imagine that the balance sheet, some type of balance sheet, will be coming down the pipe pretty soon now. So,
well, right.
Yeah, I would mention that to her.
End of this month, isn't it? The end of September?
Yes. That's what right. You, this is the end of the fiscal year, yes. Fiscal year
okay.
21, yeah.
Barry, I really like your work as a professional accountant. I know that you're on top of what's going there from what my interaction's been with you. And I've been in much worse situations. And that's why, you know, I think people feel that it's an opportunity to abuse you. And I want to thank you for hanging in there and taking the abuse with such class that you have. But you do very good work. I'm really glad that you're here. I know that you love KPFK, at least, if not Pacifica. So I really want to thank you for your work. But can we talk to Tamara Sadursky again? Because I don't think the rest of the people on this committee are going to be happy unless they can get balance sheets in a more often fashion so that they feel that they've got numbers that they can really work with. So can we pick that up with Tamara again sometime soon?
Yeah, I have the inkling to give her a call to talk about that, because I know you guys have been mentioning balance sheet information, and it would be advantageous to us to have the balance sheet. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to try to get that to you.
With the number of transactions, I'm not optimistic you can do monthly balance sheets without a lot of effort and expense, but we might be able to do it on a quarterly. And if you can ask Tamara if we can have a quarterly one by the end of this year for the first quarter ending in December 30th, I think that would make a lot of people happier on this committee. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Steve?
Yeah.
Fred here. As treasurer I'll, and the NFC, I'll see if I can ask Anita about that too and see if what can be done.
Tanita? Is she the head of the finance committee?
Anita is the executive director of NETA, and she's also been hired as Pacifica's CFO, chief financial officer. So she's basically the head of NETA, and she can assign resources and she can explain what they can and can't do.
Okay, let's try for quarterly balance sheets. That's, I think, an attainable goal, at least theoretically.
I can ask a question. I can't guarantee anything.
Oh, shoot. I was looking for guarantees. Sorry.
Okay.
This is Michael Love with personal privilege.
What's your point of privilege, Michael?
I need to leave the call to be on a Zoom call at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Let me finish my statement, please. In my absence, there are several people on this call, including Janine, yourself, Beth Van Gunten, Lawrence, I think, has the same call I do, so he's going to leave, who participated in that strategic planning discussion. We had three meetings with a lot of very constructive ideas. I hope you will call on Janine to give a report, because she played a very constructive and positive role in coming up with ways to raise money immediately so we can try to meet the September 30th payroll that business manager said we're in danger of not being able to meet again. So I hope you'll unmute her and allow her to speak and present what she's doing and we've come up with as methods, including the proposal for special programming, Ali Lex's plan for webinars behind the paywall, and Janine's efforts to do phone banking to raise money for the station. Thanks.
Michael, I'm ending this segment. I'm moving to point 9 on the agenda, your report back on the strategic planning meetings. So you've got 5 minutes.
Okay, so I started it. I do think that Janine can fill you in a lot more detail, and I'll be able to. We did, the LSB passed the motion at a special meeting earlier in the month to call for a strategic planning meeting convened by the IGM, Mo Thomas, with paid and unpaid staff and governance. And we had on those calls basically the officers of the LSB, the chair, vice chair, I don't think the vice chair made it, but the chair, the secretary, Janine, and yourself as treasurer. We had the PNB directors, including Lawrence, Beth Van Gunten, and Ali Lexa. And I talking to Mo, and he said he'd bring some staff people on. He was only inviting paid staff, and so I invited Oscar Ulloa and Paulina Vasiliev, who are unpaid staff delegates on the KPFK local station board. We had several meetings, and I think everybody agreed, Stuart Landau and others. Ali couldn't speak, but he gave input by email, shared, and I think was very constructive. So I hope you'll unmute Janine so that she can report on this at greater length, because she has a lot to tell you. Thank you. I have to get off the call.
I can't find Janine here. She's either hung up or left the call. Beth, do you want to say anything about the strategic planning meetings?
I can say briefly, we did meet 3 times between last week and this week. And it was very much focused on trying to meet the immediate need of a payroll initially, but discussion expanded to include many other options for fund development, as Michael just listed. I was going to text Janine and let her know that she has the floor if she wants to come back.
She's not on the call.
Okay. From my perspective, one of the greatest takeaways from that series of so far just 3 meetings was that it's the first time in my time at the station where board met with staff. And it, for me, it really felt like a breakthrough. I've got, I've been able to establish direct lines of communication to several people now. That's been extremely satisfying, and I think can help us heal these. I think one of the deep problems at KPFK from my perspective since I got here was this extreme, almost complete schism between board and staff. We just weren't talking to each other. They weren't responding to efforts to communicate. And from my side of that divide, it was extremely frustrating. And this felt like the earliest opportunity I've had to reach across that divide. And I found very ready, willing participants on the other side. And I think they're learning things and I'm learning things. And I hope that will be sort of an, it will help us introduce a new, we're going to be turning over a new leaf here with a new general manager and new channels of communication open. And that's exciting to me. And I intend to introduce a motion to stand up a standing development committee where this array of ideas can be taken up properly and developed systematically over time. That we'll address that more. I'll bring it up at tonight at the governance committee if anyone wants to tune in there. And I think that was just a text from Janine. Okay, it wasn't about this. Let me, I'm going to, if there's someone else who would, Lawrence was at that meeting, if he'd like to, oh no, he's not here now. Is there anyone else here who was there? I'd like to text Janine and let her know that she can speak now.
I just texted, I just texted her and I haven't gotten a response.
Okay. Okay.
I just wanted to say about the joint meetings, and about meeting payroll. For the last 6 months, KPFK has been in this situation where every month it's been a very close call on meeting payroll. We've had to borrow money multiple times, and this time was no different. The only difference was that, as I personally know, the executive director, Lydia Brazone, and I was able to get a call back from her to tell her about our concerns about payroll. And again, payroll was met by borrowing from interdivisional, from other units within Pacifica. So people were very concerned about meeting payroll, but it doesn't seem like this payroll has been that much different from the payrolls over the last 6 months. Does anybody else want to say, who's at the meeting want to speak? Does anybody on the committee want to ask a question? Okay. So it seems, what is your question? Who's speaking?
Aaron? Grace?
Oh, your voice was very hard to hear. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. Hope you can hear me now. Just like to know, Michael mentioned that Janine had some ideas for fundraising, including phone banking, I imagine, to lapsed members or major donors. Can anybody who's in the meeting explain that if Janine is not able to get on the call?
Yes, I'll respond. Janine had proposed using a phone app that allows you to automatically call people remotely, and this is used for political campaigns. I think some of us have some experience with that, with this. The problem was, of course, that this phone app was, I believe, over $1,000. And of course, the station doesn't have the money. And the problem is that we don't have, as Lydia Berzon told me, we don't have that many major donors left. So, there's a lot of thrashing around going on here. People are very concerned and upset about the financial situation, and I don't know what else to say. I'm working with a group at the, of directors on solving some of the on some of the problems that have been pointed up by the budgeting process. So there's evidently a couple hundred thousand dollars of expenses that could be cut if they're moved on. But of course, governance can't do that directly, but staff can. So there's things being worked on that can't be talked about, but are happening. I don't know if there's anybody else on. I'm checking my to see if Janine is back and would like to say anything. I don't see her. So I think we're now at 5 minutes after 6. I'm going to move to the next point on the agenda, since we don't have a time certain for adjourning, discussion of the Pacifica P&L statements. The only thing I want to say here is that the NETA has generated the July consolidated P&L statements. They were given to the National Finance Committee yesterday, and I will be releasing them this Friday to this finance committee, and they are on schedule from NETA. NETA's schedule for P&L statements are basically 5 weeks after the month-end closing. So July, it's now about 6 weeks since July ended. So that's the September financials will be available in November. Please, would somebody mute their phone? I'm hearing a lot of rattling around. And I don't know who's doing that, if that's... Okay. Okay. So, I've opened up the line item for the Pacifica P&L financials. I was hoping that we could get the July financials out. We got the July financials from Barry for KPFK. Let me see if I can open that and hit the highlights on that. Did people get that in my email today?
Yes.
Okay. So, from Barry's P&L statements, net income for through July is $2,525,337. Net operating expenses were $2,680,965. That means that we have a deficit at this point of $155,627 as of the end of July. And I also mentioned that you do have variance on here. Okay. So personnel expenses were $1,471,110, which is down 16% from the previous year at this time. Payroll for July, total payroll for July was $120,000. $120,690. One of the things I noticed in Barry's report today is our electrical utilities costs on Mount Wilson have gone up by about 60%, I believe. We're paying a lot more for electricity. That's one of the concerns of the National Finance Committee when going over our budget. The other thing is another place where we can save a lot of money, as per the National Finance Committee, is telephone expenses. Just a point of information, people don't know that over the last 3 years, KPFA in Berkeley has gone through a major restructuring program and reduced their telephone utilities from $137,000 a year down to last year it was $20,000 a year. So we're getting some help, and we're hoping to be able to reduce and expenses, our telephone expenses here at KPFK, from last year's amount, which is I believe it was $137,000 last year. We're hoping to reduce that this year. It looks like we've already spent $96,000. We're hoping to reduce that into similar terms as this would be cutting expenses, and hopefully that may alleviate the need for some of the payroll cuts or staff reductions. Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to ask some questions about the KPFK's P&L this month, the July P&L that we just received?
Can you hear Bella?
Yes, I can hear Bella.
Well, I was muted most of the meeting. Thank you for that. I've had to call 3 times. Thank you for that. And I was not allowed to speak on the issue of the balance sheet. And educating about the balance sheet, there's one reason, more than one reason, why we need that document, not quarterly and not annually. We need it on a monthly basis so that we can get the cash balance from the bank. Then we get what is owed to us, and then we should see what our monthly layout payment responsibilities are, and then finally our equity. And without these numbers, we never know where we stand. And so getting the balance sheet from Great Plains is not complicated if you know what you're doing. So for us to go through Anita Sims, it is absolutely ridiculous. We need our proper monthly documentation locally from our Great Plains program, which has all the information. And I will leave it there, because many on this committee have no clue about accounting. And there lies the friction when I speak about accounting procedure. And without that document and a trial balance on a monthly basis, we will continue to have our head in the sand. And again, those who do not understand accounting continue to shut me up. But it's to the detriment of the foundation, quite honestly. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella.
This is Grace to the Stack. Grace to the Stack with a point of order.
Grace, you have the floor.
Okay. I understand the frustration voiced by Bella and by Janine. Fully understood. However, bringing up a complaint, meeting after meeting after meeting, verbally in the meetings and also in emails, becomes dilatory. In other words, it wastes the board time. The board time should be spent in having solutions proposed to these deficiencies, not continually pointing out the deficiency. So there could be motions to include balance sheets in the business manager's job description. There could be motions to write a negative report for the business manager's personnel file if that's that others feel that, that if the committee feels that that's warranted. There could be an effort to see if the general manager or the to speak with the general manager or have the general manager respond to the question about balance sheets. If it's adjudicated that it's not part of the business manager's job description or anyway, just to make a complaint is not productive of moving forward on this committee. We are expected as committee members to bring forward solutions in the form of motions, not simply reiterating complaints over and over and over again. What is your solution to this problem? I don't think you should voice it now, but otherwise it's dilatory, and you can look that up in Robert's Rules of Order. It's disruptive of the forward motion of the meeting. I would like to, and that's all I have to say about this.
I would like to respond to Grace. This is Bella.
Bella, you're going to have your say anyway. Say it.
Well, no, I need to respond. Motions have been brought over to this body.
There is
how many
no,
years
there's
now?
There's no motion on the floor currently.
Please do not interrupt me, Fred Blair. Thank you. I have the floor, and I'll make it quick. Motions have been brought to that effect to this body, completely ignored. And including today, Janine sent out a motion that was passed already by the LSB, which was generated from this body some months ago, also ignored by the chair of this committee. So I also offered to help Barry Brooks a couple of months ago. He declined. Janine today expressed that she has watched a video on how to generate the balance sheet from Great Plains, also ignored. Solutions have been proposed left and right for a very long time, and you, Grace Aaron, and Fred Blair, refuse to acknowledge them. And we continue suffering because of that, because of the lack of monthly, timely reporting. And I just do not know in which language to speak to you. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else? Anybody
listener
else?
Member John. Listener member John Markowitz to the stack, please, right now.
You're not a member of the board.
Well, you've had four other people that are not members of the board, including Grace right now, Fred, in case I need to remind you.
Grace is a member of this, is long-term member of the Finance Committee.
Okay. Steve Kaiser?
He's a long-term member of the, many, many years member of this Finance Committee.
Is he currently a member of the Finance Committee?
Yes.
Is Dave?
Same with Dave Johnson.
Okay, what about John Winger?
Same with John Winger. He's been attending for years.
Okay. So I
and
still have
what,
a right.
What's your urgent
and this
question?
Is Dave for the stack, please.
Dave,
okay, the stack.
Dave, you have the floor.
Oh no, I still have the floor, Dave. Please.
I didn't.
Thank you.
I didn't recognize you.
Point of order.
You just addressed me on the phone. You have
Dave, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Fred. I just wanted to raise an issue with the travel expenses. I don't understand why all of a sudden, in the last couple of months or so, 3 months, I guess, we've had some travel expenses now that have really shot up there to a year-to-date figure, whereas last year, in a similar year with COVID, we had basically no travel expenses. And I was wondering if we might have an answer to that. It shows the year-to-date being $13,000, for example, and zero, with last month at $1,800 the previous month, and then there's $6,685 in May. That seems like a lot of money in travel expenses, considering that none of the programmers and other people are working in the station. I was wondering if there was any explanation for that. It seems a little crazy. And that was it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. That's, by the way, that's line 65 in the P&L statement from that Barry sent out. Barry, do you want to respond? I see that.
Yes, I would.
I see that travel expenses are up 179% over last year.
Yeah. Can I respond now?
Go ahead, Barry.
Okay. The reason why you have expenditures for travel on line 65 is because when Amiel resigned in the end of March, there was a hiring of the interim GM, which was Mo Thomas, and we had to pay for his airfare and his hotel when he flew out here. So that's what that is.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, also, Dave, I found out that that $20,000 and the $22,000 was in October of 2020 was made because we had a shortfall in our payroll in September 30th of 2020. So that's what those two payments were for, $20,000 and $22,000.
Thank you. And Fred, could I just say something?
Yes, go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's just a very passing note here, and that is that I have been a service member of the committee, Finance Committee, since January of 2013. And that's all. Thank you.
That's 8 years. Yeah, and I verify that because I've been on the committee that long too, and since 2011 actually. And so this committee has been fairly small until all this recent interest. I just mentioned that. Barry, I have a question to you on the P&L that I asked last night at the NFC, and I noticed that insurance costs, which are line 62, the numbers seem to be a little different than I saw on the NEDA generated P&L, but insurance taxes, which are line 68. Okay, that's why they were different. Taxes are only taxes last year were taxes in fiscal year 20, which was last year, were only $2,000, where this year they're $12,000. And I know our property taxes are $10,000 a year. Can you explain why the taxes in the P&L for last year were only $2,000? Do you happen to know?
I know that for that particular line item, that has to do with the property taxes and also the taxes we pay for the Pitney Bowes machines downstairs. We also have to pay tax on that too. So, but I know what that is. It's actually a prepaid. Actually, property taxes is a prepaid, so it doesn't get expensed until April. So in November,
you have a property tax payment, so it's actually not expensed until April. So it's actually treated as a prepaid because you have to make two payments. Property taxes are two payments, once in November and once in April.
I'm understood, but what I'm saying is that for the whole year of fiscal year 2020, the total taxes were $2,000, and that's, you know, that's outlined with all, you know, previous years, which are over $10,000 a year.
Right. I don't know why that's like that.
It seems like the property taxes are just not present in fiscal year 2020.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anybody else have questions for Barry on the P&L?
This is Bella, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yes. Barry, I sent you a list of all the travel expenses for the last 4 years, you may recall. And you explained that Mo Thomas was the one that just reflected for this year. But
that's
none
correct.
Of the others were explained. And there were quite high numbers. And Fred is bringing, and Dave is bringing that up right now. So this information was already queried by me last month and the month before. And I wanted to make a point of personal privilege here, is that in essence, the chair of this committee has prevented any public comment from being heard, and that is not democratic. And I know that you have tried maintaining this committee as a private club many years, and I have pushed to open it up so that we get more participation. This is why we now have more potential members, but it's not your friends only, Fred, that need to become members of this committee. As many people need to participate. Thank you.
Okay, I mentioned that the meeting now is at 2 hours and 17 minutes. It seems to me that it's time to adjourn. It's almost 6:30, and there's a governance meeting, I believe, at 7:30. So the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Bella.
So moved.
Is there any opposition to adjourning? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Good night.